Greetings once again. This is Pastor Henry with our ninth midweek memo. I can't believe today the year is half over, and what a year 2020 has been so far, to say the least. You know, 3 days from now, we'll be celebrating our nation's 244th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. That document set this country on a path to freedom, and these 244 years later, we still enjoy a great amount of freedom. We see today how those freedoms are being slowly wrested from our possession by those who would seek to topple our country, destroy our Constitution, and force our citizenry to once again be placed in a state-controlled dependency. I pray that will not come about, but in the meantime, we need to be diligent in how we conduct ourselves and how we express our views. The Church of Jesus Christ will go forward, and God's plan will not be thwarted. Today I want us to look at a Declaration of Independence that every believer can claim. In fact, the name of the memo is the Believer's Declaration of Independence. And what I'm going to share with you today is taken largely from Warren Wiersbe's book called Be Right. It's a commentary he wrote on the letter to the Romans. If you have a Bible with you today, we'll be in Romans chapter 8. According to the scriptures, everyone who is born into this world is born a sinner. The human nature we possess is a sinful one that we inherited from Adam. Paul tells us a few times in Romans 6 that we were slaves to sin. For example, in Romans 6:17, he says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Before a believer comes to Christ, they are indeed slaves. Anyone who has not trusted Christ is a slave to sin. It's funny how people will say that they have to give up so much to become a Christian, yet they fail to realize how much freedom they are giving up to remain a slave to sin. Let's read the first four verses in Romans 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." The first part of the believer's declaration of independence says believers are free from penalty. Paul tells us up front that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He then shows how believers have been freed from the law of sin and death. For believers, there are three things the law cannot do. First of all, the law cannot claim you. Secondly, the law cannot condemn you. And thirdly, the law cannot control you. Before salvation, many people try to live by the law or some set of standards they think will be good enough to get them to where they want to go. The more one focuses on keeping a set of standards, the more time and energy is spent on that pursuit. Hence, the more control that effort has over that person. If you notice, the entire effort is attempted to be completed in the flesh. It is purely an effort to hold to some moral standard. If that's all it is, then there really is no need or room for the Holy Spirit's work. It really is an attempt at self-righteousness. A believer, however, walks according to the Spirit and is able to be controlled by the Spirit and not by fleshly desires. Therefore, there is no condemnation by the law for the believer. The second part of the believer's Declaration of Independence says that believers are free from the power of the flesh. If we compare a saved person with an unsaved person, we would draw the following conclusions. A saved person lives according to the Spirit, while an unsaved person lives according to the flesh. Hear what Paul says in Romans 8:5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." A saved person is alive spiritually, while an unsaved person is dead spiritually. Listen to Romans 8:6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Carnally minded just means fleshly minded, focused on things of the flesh. A saved person is at peace with God, while an unsaved person is at war with God. Repeating the last part of Romans 8:6 and venturing on to the first part of 8:7, to To be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The word enmity means to be opposed to or at odds with. And in this case, Paul is saying those whose minds are on fleshly desires are at odds with God Almighty. That is not a good position in which to find yourself. Much better to be at peace with God. And finally, a saved person is pleasing God, while an unsaved person is pleasing self. Romans 8:8 says, "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Anything done in the flesh will not please God. Only those things done in the Spirit will be pleasing to God. So a believer's declaration of independence says that a believer is free from penalty. They're not condemned by the law. A believer's declaration of independence says that a believer is free from the power of the flesh. They're not controlled by the flesh. Next, a believer's declaration of independence says that a believer is free from panic. In the next few verses in Romans 8, Paul talks about some entities that groan. The groaning is done because there is a hope of redemption. The creation is groaning and looking forward to its redemption. Believers are groaning for their full adoption. Paul says in Romans 8:23, "We also who have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." There's no panic because believers know that their complete redemption will happen. The final groaning Paul mentions is done by the Spirit of God. He says in verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." There is no need to panic because the Holy Spirit prays for believers when they may not know how to pray. And the prayers made by the Holy Spirit are according to the will of God. In verses 28 to 30 in Romans 8, Paul describes a process that further explains why believers have no need to panic. There are six things mentioned in these verses that describe the process. First, he says that God foreknew believers. He had knowledge before believers were even born of who they were and how they would fit into God's plan. Next, Paul says that those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The process doesn't stop there, according to Paul. Those who were predestined by God were also called by God. God sought out each one individually. The ones he called, he also justified, that is, declared not guilty and did declare righteous. And the last step in this process is those God justified, he also glorified, delivered completely in a new body for all eternity. Now that act, even though it is in the future, is considered done, just as all the previous steps in the process have been completed. Believers are free from panic because there is no question about their position. And lastly, the believer's declaration of independence says that they are free from principalities and powers. They have no reason to fear. Here are the reasons Paul gives in Romans 8:31-39, to ensure Christians that they don't have to be afraid of enemies. In verse 31, Paul asks, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Believers are on God's side, and he takes up for his own. God is for us. In verse 32, Paul reminds his readers that God did not spare his own Son for his followers and would not therefore withhold anything from them. Christ died for us. In verse 33, Paul asks another rhetorical question, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" We know Satan is an accuser of the brethren, but Paul answers the question by stating it is God who justifies. If God justifies, that ruling is final and is handed down by the highest court and judge in the universe. God has justified us. In verse 34, Paul goes further by stating that Jesus Christ is presently at the right hand of God, making intercession for his people. Christ intercedes for us. In verses 35 to 39, Paul makes it abundantly clear that Christ loves us. Another rhetorical question posed by Paul in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now, after posing the question, he lists several things over the next few verses that he says cannot separate us from the love of Christ. In verse 35, he lists things like tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And of course, the Apostle Paul can list those things because he faced all of those things. And he knows that even going through all of those things, none of those things separated him from the love of God. But in verses 38 and 39, he lists things in a whole different category that cannot separate believers from the love of God. There he includes the following things: death, life, angels, principalities, powers. Those two things, by the way, principalities and powers, have to do with the demonic spirit world. He goes on to list things like things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing. None of those things can separate us from the love of God. When you're celebrating Independence Day this Saturday, make sure to thank God for this country. But also, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't forget to thank God for your Declaration of Independence. You are free from penalty. You are not condemned by the law. You're free from the power of the flesh. You can be controlled by the Spirit. You're free from panic. There is no confusion about your position from being foreknown through glorification. And you're free from principalities and powers. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Until we chat again, may God bless you and may God bless America.